Do I want to introduce the episode where we talk about the greatest Christmas movie ever made?
Is there anybody on the other side of that argument in this room here? Or are we all pro-Christmas movie?
Well, I think that opinion would die pretty hard in this room. Yippee-ki-yay. Let's get this podcast started.
Welcome to Bear Attack. Neither one of our names are Roy and or Al. I'm Panda Bear. That's
but
Polar
you,
Bear. And
but you can
Blitz
call
Bear.
Me Roy.
Yes, you can indeed. Anyway, we are tackling a classic Christmas movie, whether you think it is or not. But if you don't, you're wrong.
I think it's less that we're tackling a Christmas movie and more that we're settling the debate once and for all.
Explain.
That's my personal... Well, you see, there's two sides of this argument. There are the people that are correct in thinking this is a Christmas movie, and then the other side, which I like to call wrong.
Yeah, there's no debating it. It's just you have to ignore large sections of the movie to say the movie's not about Christmas. But
I'm pretty sure a Christmas tree gets used as a weapon somewhere in this movie.
And literally half the music is Christmas music? Yeah, come on, please. What more do you need?
Yeah. The final credits are Christmas music. At one point he says, "Don't you have any Christmas music?"
Ironically, though, the movie came out in July, which is funny.
Oh, that is funny. Well, there's like the first good reason I've heard as to why it might not actually be a Christmas movie.
Let us know what you think. Is it or is it not? And if you say it's not, then you better have damn good points.
Here's the deal. The movie is Die Hard. The main character name, John McClane, played by the one, the only, Bruce Willis. And this is Bruce Willis when he had hair.
I was about to say, pre-hair loss. Bruce Willis.
This is, yeah. This is Bruce Willis when he still had all his mental faculties, too.
Dude, I mean, his widow's peak is it's sharp. Like, you could cut yourself on that widow's peak, but hanging in there.
He is a... absolutely yoked in this movie too.
Oh dude, an absolute stud,
which is good because he ends up needing all the muscle.
Oh my gosh. So he plays John McClane, who is a New York City Police Department detective. And he goes to a Christmas Eve party at his estranged wife's office in Los Angeles, which, what a sentence that is.
Yeah. And he's not happy because she's taken her maiden name again.
Yeah. Do they ever explain, like, is she in Los Angeles because of her job? And
yes.
He's in New York because... But
he
like,
didn't want to leave, yeah.
Okay, so she left New York for this job.
Correct.
Right. Okay. I must have just missed that. Wife's name is Holly. Very Christmassy.
Yes. Indeed. Also, I feel like we would be remiss to not state that very early on in the movie, we're given a sense of the time. Because it's pre-9/11 when people could take guns on planes.
Oh, yeah. And he doesn't, like... There's not a scene of him getting groped by TSA. I think that's really the big telling there.
No, he actually is, like, open carrying sort of his firearm on the plane.
Yeah, he's just doing, like, you know, cop stuff.
Yeah. This is what... This is what Al Qaeda took from us, kids.
Yeah, so he takes a limo driven by a fellow named Argyle, who's waiting in the garage most of the movie.
And I like Argyle because he and I have the same like sense of Christmas music. His Christmas music is like how Die Hard's a Christmas movie. On the surface, maybe not, but it has a a whole lot of references to Christmas in it.
And in comes Hans Gruber and his merry band of German terrorists.
Oh my gosh.
Can I before we move on, can I commend the acting chops of the late, great Sir Alan Rickman? Like, this is probably, other than Severus Snape, this may be the best that I see from him.
Yeah, he is in rare form in this movie. He plays a very convincing villain. I also think we all talk about them as terrorists in every, like, because Die Hard, it comes up all the time in film school. And for those of you who haven't been following us, all three of us are like, have a degree in film.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, not, it's a Bachelor's of Science, also known as a BS degree. So it's not.
Yeah, it's a dark chasm of misfortune.
I do not agree with any of that. I think it was a lot of fun, but it's not like,
at the time, yes.
We're not like smart because we got a degree in film. We're not like great cinephiles or anything like that. But
yeah, we're making this disaster of a show because we haven't found anything better yet.
But Die Hard comes up a lot in film school, as you know, that it's just a movie about, you know, how to make a movie well. They do a lot of things right in it. And there's I think it's a kind of a testament to the fact that everyone, when they talk about the movie, they refer to them as terrorists. They're actually not terrorists, but all the good guys in the movie think that they are.
They're just robbers. Yeah.
They're just bank robbers.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It's just because all Americans assume anybody that doesn't sound like a cowboy is automatically a terrorist. But they come in like incredibly well armed.
Yeah.
For just taking over an office building.
Well, they pose as terrorists to try to throw law enforcement off the scent as well.
I mean, they do have a bunch of explosives, so technically they're really, 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 really heavily armed robbers.
Yeah, they use terror tactics and they kill civilians and stuff like that, but it's not like
they blew up a fucking RV, man, with a rocket launcher. Come on. So
can we just agree that they are in fact terrorists? Terror just wasn't their original goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I think just by defining what they've done, they are terrorists, even if they weren't meaning to just cause terror.
There is a great scene though where he's like demanding the release of like all these like extremists from around the world, and like one of his guys is like, what? And he just like puts the phone kind of down so they can't hear him. He's like, I read about it in Time magazine once. Like, he's just trying to like get stall for time. So
I read
good
about it in a magazine.
So but good.
Yeah, so they're trying to steal $640 million in untraceable bearer bonds, which seems like a strange thing to keep in the building, but who am I?
It was the 80s.
Yeah, things were different back then.
The late 80s.
Yeah, my parents
crack was just getting ramped up. And
oh yeah, the like guy at the beginning of the movie is like really struggling to get that coke down his nose.
Oh, it's okay. God. That dude gets it through and through in his head, so it's fine.
My two favorite things actually in this movie aren't specifically about John McClane. My favorite, first off, is that everyone in the building is taking hostage except Bruce Willis's character and the limo driver. It's because Bruce Willis evades them and is like, you know, a trained operator at this point, basically. And Argyle is just sitting in a limo in the garage and they just haven't found him yet. Doesn't even know it's happening.
Yeah, they never do find him because
no!
Like, he tries to run away and then he realizes he's not going anywhere.
Doesn't he run one of them over?
Yeah. No, so when the dude that was breaking... he's the smart science guy who's breaking into the actual vault. He ends up down in the garage somehow, and he pulls out a fucking ambulance out of their rental U-Haul box truck bullshit.
Yeah, it's their getaway car.
Argyle basically T-bones it, so it's totaled and can't go anywhere.
Yeah, no one stops an ambulance. I don't think
Argyle is the true hero of Christmas.
Yeah, and it doesn't really follow, like, the basic, like, story structure. It, like, shifts between things, which is cool.
Yeah, Die Hard is what started a lot of the tropes. Like, a lot of things that happen now in movies are because of Die Hard.
Yeah, like, normally you have, like, a concise, like, beginning, middle, end character development thing. I feel like John McClane is just John McClane the entire time. Like, he gets a little bit of redemption in the end, but, like...
Yeah, no, it makes him kind of realize what's important, I suppose. Comes, he and his wife patch things up. I guess that's kind of like, could
Which
argue
funny,
that.
They really don't if you watch the rest of the movies, but yes.
Oh.
Argyle, they didn't catch Argyle. They're trying to steal the bonds in the building as they pretend to be terrorists, but they're not actually terrorists, but they end up being terrorists because of what they do to break into the vault. They kill one of the executives of the company because
blood splatter. It was disgusting.
Yeah, he didn't give them the code to get into the vault, and so they killed him. And that's how Theo, who is the nerd guy that they brought along to crack the vault, ends up working on the vault. And
well, it's funny. That's one of my favorite like lines from the movie. Is like Hines goes up to him. You can get in, right? And he's like, well, yeah, he didn't bring me along for my charming personality.
And he is humorous, too. Like, that's not...
Yeah.
He has a charming
personality,
for sure. That's
the cool thing about this movie. Like, all the characters have that, like, sarcastic, like, this motherfucker over here. Sense of humor.
Yeah. Then the terrorists find out...
Definitely.
...that good old John is wandering about the premises, and... They send a guy after him because they're like, it's just a guy. We have machine guns. And John McClane murks this guy. And by the way, the guy's name is Tony. Just drops Tony. Steals his gun.
Wait,
steals his radio.
He totally fumbles taking out Tony. He had him at gunpoint, and then he just decides, nah. And he decides to chuck him out from behind. It gets severely like beat up. In the ensuing, it like falls
down the
stairs. He does not murk
John. John McClane makes no mistakes. He murks Tony.
I was gonna say half this movie is John McClane fucking up, but somehow still winning.
I know. Yeah, there's like so many times in this movie where I'm just like, plug him full of holes, and he's like, and he like does it. It messes up like his takedown somehow, and then it turns into a whole thing, which I suppose is kind of. Maybe a bit believable. He's not John Wick. He's John McClane.
Yeah, he also isn't wearing shoes for most of this movie.
That's not his. Okay,
right,
actually,
I'm like, you didn't.
I'm really glad you brought that up. So, all of us have
He was changing like when this all took place, like started happening, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or so something. Yeah.
Well, it's because the guy at the beginning of the movie tells him the way to survive flying is when you get where you're going, take your socks off and put your feet on the carpet and make fists with your toes. Have either of you ever done that?
No, because my toes are deformed and they can't form fists.
Oh. Well, I've never done it either because I never remember to after I fly, and I also am not really that stressed out by air travel. But I'm really wondering.
Good for you.
Does it,
rub it in.
Well, because when he does it, he like puts his like feet on the carpet and does like the whole thing, and he goes, son of a gun. It's like he's all, wow, that actually worked. And I'm like, does it? So I've always wanted to try it. I just never remember to.
Yeah. So John McClane is so hardcore, he has to use an entire building as a stress ball with his feet.
He does try to take Tony's shoes, but Tony's feet are smaller
than
his
sister. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he does end up taking Tony's radio and his gun. And uses that radio to get a hold of the Los Angeles police in probably one of the funniest exchanges ever. Because the lady says,
it's so frustrating.
Sir, I don't know how you got this frequency, but you need to be kept clear for emergencies. Well, lady, I'm not exactly ordering a pizza. and they end up sending one of the best characters in the whole movie, Al Powell. Out to investigate, and he sees a building and is just like, yeah, it's fine. Everything's quiet.
and then the body drops.
And he's about to leave, and so instead of using the radio again, John hucks a body out of the building and it lands on Al's car.
It's super effective.
What? Okay, that's the one thing with this movie. I'm like, how fucking accurate did he have to be to drop a building, like a body, like 20 floors onto a vehicle?
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
I don't know. I can spit pretty accurately off of tall things.
Yeah, I wonder if body's heavy enough, it might just fall straight down.
Yeah, I think Al's parked pretty close to the building. I'm sure the math's out.
I guess we need to go find some bodies to drop off a building.
All right, time to start dropping bodies, guys.
Really test this theory.
That's the one thing that Die Hard does better than Star Wars. People fall off a building and don't come back.
Yes.
True. They show bodies and they mean it. But yeah, so McClane, doesn't he get the bag of C4?
Yeah, and the detonators.
Like he kills more people, gets mm-hmm. the detonators and their bag of C4, then hucks the body out of the window onto Al's car. Al calls SWAT because he's a normal person.
Because he's not an idiot.
Yeah, because he's not a John McClane. And
well, John McClane did call SWAT. They just were like, we need to keep this line open for emergencies.
That's, you know what? That's fair. He did
it's
try.
Like, this
he
is the ultimate. Best. This it doesn't get more emergency than this.
Yeah. This is one thing I don't really care for. He threw some C4 down an elevator shaft at one point.
It was funny.
And like uses them like grenades.
That's not how C4 works.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's how that. Well, he does have the detonators.
I don't know, you think
that would have done more damage.
It takes out the entire floor.
Maybe yeah. I don't know enough about C4 to say whether this is realistic or not.
I think you're probably right. Silly. Yeah, I don't think that's how it works, but I don't know either. My experience with C4 is strictly from Call of Duty.
Yeah, but I mean he does do it to save the SWAT guy's life because the thieves are about to like just punish these unknowing SWAT guys.
So I was a little distracted. Like, are they trying to cut through the glass doors? Like, they're trying to like cut through the lock, and the bad guys just shoot them through the glass?
Correct.
It is the 80s, so maybe SWAT tactics haven't become so sophisticated yet at the time. But man, I tell you what, if I was an operator and I needed to get in,
just break the glass.
And I'm doing something that's loud and like destructive, like, you know, sawing through the lock and everything, I am going to just shoot the glass.
Yeah, just I mean, you don't even have to shoot it. You can just like hit it. I mean, in the movie, in real life, you can't just hit it. In real life, getting through glass is actually a task.
I don't know if you can just shoot. I mean, golf balls break it, so a bullet should be fine. But tempered glass is really strong on the face. Not on the sides.
Yeah, but I mean, you can also hit it with, like, a microscopically sharp edge, and it'll also break.
Yeah. I feel like a bullet would be fine.
Well, I think it would at least, like, shatter it enough to where you could, like, push it through. Yeah. If it didn't just fall.
Oh, yeah.
But either way, these SWAT morons are cutting through glass doors to get into this building. Yeah.
They're not cutting the glass. They're cutting the lock on the door. Yeah.
Oh, I think we're missing a step because he threw the C4 down the elevator shaft to prevent the rocket launcher from launching again, I think.
No, they're breaking in. The terrorists are shooting at them through the glass, and they're bringing out the rockets, and they're going to shoot the rocket at the terrorists.
No,
so John...
Oceans is right.
They shoot the RV twice.
It's not an RV. That was a joke.
The tactical van.
When he was,
they called it an RV.
Yeah, but he was joking.
yeah. But he drops the C4 as like a, he's putting out fire with fire.
But yeah, it's like a breacher vehicle or something.
Yeah,
I've never seen seen its like before or since this movie.
That was also funny, like, because they put Theo on surveillance, and like he had all this like, oh look, they brought an RV.
Yeah.
I love how this movie is like about terrorists killing people and stealing things, and they just like every other turn there's this weird satirical, like sarcastic, like somebody's got a wisecrack in there.
It's the most lighthearted R-rated movie. Yeah. Not in like a Deadpool sort of way, like in an actually like you forget that it's rated R because it's so just like Christmassy and fun.
Well, yeah. And then you get the little like tidbits here. I forget McClane was running through like a room, like, and there was just this like pinup poster of this chick, and he said something to it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a nice touch.
It's like girls.
Yeah.
Girls. Oh man. It's not. And then Holly's coworker decides to be an idiot and think that he can talk down John. And John says no.
And he gets shotted.
Through and through. Like they the camera angle on that was like, holy shit, you can see through his head. Oh my god.
Yeah. Gruber puts that coworker guy whose name I can't remember.
Ellis.
Gruber puts him down.
Yeah. Hard.
No questions asked. No mercy given.
Well, I don't know what...
Just puts that guy down.
I don't know what kind of caliber gun Gruber's carrying. It's not, like, a very big handgun or anything, but, like...
Big enough.
Blood spatter that thing caused... Like, when he shot that the poor Nakatomi Asian guy, that blood spatter on that window was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. It really opens hearts and minds. And leaves the
electric
in running down
it's
the wall.
Electric or no, what's the joke? I saw a guy who made a gun, a 9mm, look like a Milwaukee M12 tool.
Oh, that's a problem.
It says cordless hole puncher on it.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so Ellis gets a new perspective on life, and oh man.
No, that guy character is literally the worst character.
He's annoying.
Which
he's
one?
He's literally only doing that to get back at Holly for not banging him, like, really?
Oh, correct. Yeah. He's a salesman.
Yeah, he's a frustrating person.
His motivation is awesome. So annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's funny is those guys are totally those guys.
Yeah, and while he's talking to him, isn't John checking for explosives on the roof, or...
No, he's trying to get the detonators back from John.
Yeah.
I don't really remember why, like, because he's already used the explosives at that point, so it's kind of like, one of the characters even says, like, just give them back, you've already used the explosives, but... Johnny about to do that, because that's not a good idea.
Because why would he give back detonators for stuff? You don't know what these guys have got anymore.
There's also like a C or D plot that happens here where there's like a reporter. I guess that's the one thing. Well, no, I wouldn't take it out of the movie because it does like... But he ends up like, he's trying to get a scoop and he goes and finds like John and Holly's kids to like interview them. Like, what would you want to say to mommy and daddy?
Yeah, and frustrating.
I feel like if I went through everything John did when I saw that guy, I probably would have tried to kill him if I knew what he had done. I don't think John actually knows.
Yeah, I think that's stupid. But it's the most reporter thing possible.
Oh my gosh, dude. I would kill him. And that's how they actually end up finding out that Holly and John are married.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Gruber and McClane actually meet, and that's when Alan Rickman does a flawless American accent to hide that he's not a German terrorist. And John, in what you think is just the dumbest move possible, gives the guy a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like at this point we just need to stop talking. If you want to, we don't want to give away the entire movie. We've given away most of, like, 3/4 of it, but the last bit, you gotta see how it all comes together.
If this is like... is this your first time watching it? Just know, John gives a guy a gun, and it's very frustrating. The FBI gets involved. John tells him to shut their pie hole and give the phone back to Al. Al runs the whole operation, is a big hero, and at the end of the day, Argyle is the one who truly saves the day by T-boning the stupid ambulance, which, when they show the storage container thing at the beginning of the movie, no ambulance in it, and then the guy drives away in the ambulance.
Yeah, that is factual.
Can we just point out
they just forgot to put an ambulance in the box at the beginning?
Can we just point out, and I'm not really spoiling anything here, that the best kill in the entire movie is the last one, when Al busts a cap in that fucking Terminator-looking motherfucker?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Also,
I love it when a big boy wins.
How did that guy... There's no way. He was dangling from his neck for, like, forever. And then how did he get to the ground floor without dying? There's no way.
They probably pulled out... Well, that was probably after they started pulling out all the cadavers and shit. And they probably figured he was dead.
You can actually hang by your neck for a while if the knot's not right. If you can get air around it somehow.
Was the thing about, like, hanging unconscious? That kills
people is actually that your neck breaks.
Was he just unconscious or something? Conscious?
Well, yeah, it's not like that New York cop John McClane is probably a professional tying a noose or anything.
I mean, but he was, like, for a good, probably, like, in movie time, like, 30 minutes. Not 30 minutes of screen time, but, like, time that elapses. He was just, like, hanging there by the wire, to, like, limp and everything. And then he shows up on the ground floor all bloody and whatnot, like.
I don't know, dude. Physics worked different in Los Angeles in 1988.
Yeah.
It's not a flawless movie. It's just a...
I'll put it this way. Really this movie had enough before my parents were married, so yeah.
He had enough coke in his system to just be to like just keep him going. but yeah, if you haven't seen it, I won't ruin any more of the movie for you, but you need to see it. And I still think it's a Christmas movie, but I could see that if your definition of a Christmas movie means it has to, like,
be about Christmas, then no.
Yeah, then I can see how you would say that it's not a Christmas movie.
Although, there is that underlying plot in this movie that the entire point of him being there is so he can be with his kids for Christmas. That's, like, the underlying plot.
Correct.
He's getting his family back together for Christmas.
Yeah, Die Hard is a Christmas movie in the same way that Jingle All the Way is a Christmas movie. It's just significantly more violent.
I'm trying to think of a reason why it might not be a Christmas movie. If you took out the fact that it takes place at Christmas time, and that was the only change you made, the whole movie still works, I suppose. But that's kind of like, you could say the same thing about, like you said, Jingle All the Way. It takes
away the whole motivation for him being there, though. Like,
well, yeah, but that's easy to, like, the motivation could be he's going back to see it, like, it's like you. It could have taken. So there's at one point it's mentioned that he was out there in July to see the wife and kids, and that trip didn't go well. This could have all just been the July trip, and it doesn't really change anything. But, like, you could say the same thing about Christmas Vacation. You know, like, if you just made that a Thanksgiving movie or something like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not like. Like intrinsically, like the whole point and like driving force of a lot of like Christmas movies isn't necessarily Christmas.
But all that to say that if you don't believe that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, you're just wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really Christmas for me until I see a thing happen that I'm not going to tell you what happens, but it involves Nakatomi Tower.
I really like how everything in the movie that's like brought up has a payoff. Even characters' backstories, like I could never draw on another be human again, gets a payoff.
It's that you can't watch it for the first time again.
Well, should we see if we got any bear claws for Die Hard?
Absolutely. Dude, I'll start off. Die Hard, 10 out of 10.
Nice.
10 out of 10 for me. I love this movie.
I got some bear claws for Die Hard. I'll give it 9 out of 10. It's almost perfect. It's an absolutely must-see movie if you haven't seen it. This is
Lord of the Rings, Baby Driver, Die Hard, the Harry Potter series. Top movies. And not the Die Hard series, just Die Hard.
Yeah.
The sequels, not great.
Zero interest in seeing any. This is one of those movies that you make one and you like kind of like Taken. They should have never made sequels to that.
Honestly, I think the point of Die Hard was this happens. Here's this happen. It all works out for him and we move on. And then they were just like, it made so much money.
Die Hard is literally what every like boy like. Every boy has like just like the scenario, what would I do if my school was taken over by terrorists?
Oh, 100%.
It's just that made into a movie.
I think every male, if you ask them, would absolutely admit that they have like they have die-hearted some situation in their mind, just like if somebody broke into this place that I am also in, I could take them. Anyways, Oceans, how many bear claws? Right now, we're at a solid 19.
Sorry, Oceans.
As a total. What's that an average of?
Okay.
9.8 or something?
I think 9.5.
I am
going to
be the monkey. I'm going to be the monkey wrench in the cog, I think.
Oh, no.
The monkey wrench in the cog. You are really just out to cause a problem. The part of my brain that stores sayings is so frustrated with you right now.
And he's even he has more of an upbringing with it.
Don't get me wrong. It's a great movie. And among the crap of my dad, all the action movies my dad watches, this is one the best.
You're a guy who's stuck in the 80s. You should be the one who says it's a 10 out of 10.
It is not in the
your t-shirts have shoulder pads. That's how in the 80s you are. There's white stuff in your mustache all the time.
I cannot morally throw this in the same echelon as Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry.
You wear aviators.
I do not. I literally do not own a pair of aviators.
Well, what's your
rating? I want one.
Because I don't throw it in the same echelon as Lord of the Rings either.
No,
Lord of the Rings is higher on my list than Die Hard.
Yeah, Lord but you just Rings gave it a 10 out of 10, so therefore they're all the same.
Lord of the Rings
Lord
is
of the
10
Rings
harder.
Gets 11.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it an 8. I'm not going to go super low.
It's fine. Yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, 8's actually really good. Well, anyways, it is the express opinion of this podcast. Our tribunal opinion that Die Hard gets an average bear claw of...
Wouldn't it be 9? Or like 9 and... Yeah, it'd be 9.
9 out of 10.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 without... If you round down. If you round up, it's 10 out of 10. But, you know, who's saying?
Well,
you know.
You're not the king of the podcast. You can't make that decision.
I'm not making the decision. It's a law of mathematics. If you're 5 or over, you round to the next highest number.
Yeah, but it's a 9 without any rounding. It's just straight up a solid 9.
you gave it a 10, I gave it an 8, and then there was an 8, and then right down the middle, therefore it is a 9 out of 10. Simple math.
I didn't think anyone was going to check my math.
We didn't really. It's more logic than anything. Are you kidding? We suck at math. I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you not take the average of our high score of 27 and bring it back down to just 9?
That's why I went back to the median. The median number is 9.
No, it's just the number.
It's the median. It's the average. It's a 9 out of 10.
Well, actually, I don't think it would be the median. I think that would be the mode.
Isn't the median the middle number?
Or the mean?
The mean is the... No, the mean would be the...
The mean is the average.
Ah, God, no. I'm not talking about this with you people. Math is terrible, and you can go die in a hole.
Dude, don't fight me about math. I do math all day long. It's awful.
So do I, but half the time I need a calculator because I really suck at it.
I used to do stuff on a calculator, and then it really impressed my... the apprentices and helpers when I just did it in my head really fast. So I just learned how to do math in my head.
Oh, so you had your masculine moment of, ha, I can do shit in my head. Fuck you.
Well, we were laying out studs for a trailer one time and I was just like, and just marked them real quick. Like, how did you do that? And I was like, cause the tape measure is marked.
I was going to say, I work with fractions a lot, but I don't really have to do much math.
Oh, dude. I do stuff in 16ths all the time, and it frustrates the ever-living snot out of me.
Oh, that's terrible. My brain just exploded.
Everything 16ths.
Yeah, that's how measuring tapes work. That's how our life is set up. If you're real lucky, you can do things in eighths.
Yeah, that's like whenever people are like, can I just give you a standard size? It's like, no, screw you. We'll come out and measure it ourselves. Like... Oh, I'm going to redo the tile in my bathroom. It's not going to change that much. It's like, if it changes by a 16th...
It's a lot.
We got to redo the whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Dude, I worked with this one customer. He's so particular. I had to buy a measuring tape that goes down to the 32nd.
No!
Oh, yeah. God, really?
Do you know how hard it is to find a measuring tape that goes to the 32nd?
I've never even looked for one.
You obviously found one, though.
I had to order it online.
From China.
As long as he doesn't find out they make measuring tapes to the 64th, I'll be all right.
Oh my god, do they really?
I think so. I didn't look it up. Mine goes to the 32nd. If I need to be any more accurate than that, you can go find like an engineering firm or something.
Yeah.
What are we loving, boys?
I am loving there's a podcast called The Jordan Harbinger Show, and he interviews all sorts of people, really interesting, fascinating interviews, but I've been on a kick. He has a lot of interviews with like ex terrorists and like jihadists who like flipped and became like MI6 informants, like stuff like that.
What's the name of this podcast? I'm going to listen to it immediately.
The Jordan Harbinger Show. I'll send you the episode that kind of got me going, but he,
appreciate.
Is that name Harbinger ironic, or is that actually his name?
That's actually his name.
Is it? Oh, he's like a harbinger of death, but he's not a harbinger.
Dude, people like, were just blessed with cool names.
He's got a good radio voice. He's just kind of Ocean's. A nerdy, like ethnically ambiguous dude, but he gets really good guests. Like, for instance, the Green Prince of Hamas. Who was the son of one of Hamas's 7 main founders and, you know, was like the guy's second in command. And then ended up like going to Israeli prison and was like, yeah, I think I'll just start snitching because I'm tired of all my friends just wanting to kill people all the time.
Reasonable.
It's wild, dude. Just wild stories. Like, there's this, I won't send you that one because there's a better one. This like guy who was like in Al Qaeda and just was like just the craziest, like super smart dude. Just like, yeah, I got tired of all the like, oh, now we're like killing women and children. Well, I don't like this. I think I need out. And then the French like find him in Qatar and they're like, do you deny that you're in Al Qaeda? He's like, no. And they go, do you deny that you know Osama bin Laden? He's like, no. And they go, this is not at all how we thought this interview was going to go. And so they end up recruiting him. And he had the option to like become an informant for the French. And he's like, no offense, but I just find their people and language unpalatable. And I was like, me too, brother. And the reason he didn't join the CIA was because like a couple like weeks or months before, like he almost got killed by an American cruise missile, like in a strike against Al Qaeda. He's like, I just hadn't quite let it go yet. So he joined MI6.
That's funny.
It's good to have options, you know?
It's so interesting.
Oh man. Dude, I'm loving that I got tires put on my Dodge so I can drive one of my trucks again. And my Ford is in the shop finally, so I can get my Ford back ASAP and get back to the dunes.
Nice.
I am not loving that I have to pay money for all of these things, but you know, c'est la vie.
I mean, luckily you sold a house, so you have some a little bit, I guess.
Yes, but Oceans, do you know what my least favorite activity in the world is? Spending money. I hate it more than anything.
That's funny. Like, all my friends, like, hate spending money. It's hilarious.
It's because it's so hard for us to come by.
I don't hate spending money.
I probably spend more money than I should because I get paid the least of everybody, but I'm just like, I'm the best gift giver, damn it. That means I have to spend money.
Well, you know what? I don't hate spending money. I hate spending money on things that aren't fun for me. I will drop a grand if it means we have a good time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, like, I'm going to have to get tires for my truck, and I'm just, like, dreading it.
I just got trailer tires, too. I had a lot done this week, actually.
He's being a productive human and actually finishing what he starts. Yay for him.
Woo. Yay me. But that's what I'm loving is the perspective trips I can make after I get my truck back in the next couple weeks.
He's really embracing that new year, new me thing, but like early.
Well, why do tomorrow what you can do today? Oceans, what are you loving, buddy? Give it to me straight.
I also am loving a podcast.
Incorrect, because Hans Gruber was not trusted by John McClane the entire time they were on the roof.
But the podcast that I'm loving is not nearly as serious as the one that Bliss Barrett was just describing, which it may be fascinating to some people, but I'm just like, I'm more of, I don't know, man, that ain't my wheelhouse. I mean, it's fascinating and everything, but I'm just like, I don't want to hear about people getting limbs blown off themselves.
I mean, they don't really talk about that, but... but I also, like, the global war on terror is supremely interesting to me, so...
Our Oceans, what is...
Anyway.
What is this podcast you're loving? Bear Attack, actually. Thank you for asking. So it's this podcast about reviewing things where three friends talk about podcasts and shows and music and politicians and just people we want to review.
It is actually a music-related podcast. It is the Dickie Dine Show.
Do you know a Dickie Withers at 85?
But
Jared Dines.
The last two episodes have been really good because you know they did the whole Musician Mansion thing.
Yes,
and they're getting everybody from the bands on the podcast. And
oh, like super fun!
They're doing like a whole retrospect and like
sick. Bunch
of the bands are like, we're working on new music with each other, and I'm like, see,
dude,
it's a great concept.
The roast of Jared Dines in the last episode.
Oh my dude, I almost shit my pants. It was so good.
One of the guys just goes up and pretends to bomb the whole like thing, but he's like intentionally doing it, and it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Was that Rudy? It sounds like Rudy.
No, Bradley, the British guy.
Oh, because that guy is hilarious.
I've never watched this show, but I want
it's
to
like
know.
He like fumbles all his paperwork and then like knocks over the stand trying to pick it all up. It's like just this whole bit, and then he like gets up and starts telling the jokes, but he'll be like, your dad, I mean, he looks at his notes, your mom
Oh. It was hilarious. No, you have to. I highly recommend watching Musician Mansion. It's free. It's on YouTube. It's on Jared Dine's channel. It's only 5 episodes. And he, like, it's funny because he did all this behind the scenes stuff and he talked about how, like, he had set this impossible deadline because he realized that they had like 4 cameras rolling at a time and like they had like 5 hours of footage on each camera. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a bear and a half. Screw that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of data to wrangle.
Yeah, and they like got it done. Yeah, he's like, yeah, we use like two terabyte hard drives a day, like for 5 days. And,
wow.
Like, and he's like, I set this deadline of getting it edited and done by like the beginning of September, and they filmed in like June or July. And I'm like, dude, there's no way.
What an absolute monster. Oh my gosh, that's impressive.
Yeah, and it came out in October, so, or beginning of November. Yeah, so.
Yeah,
I mean, like that. still an impressive turnaround.
It's also a fun concept because, like, the whole premise of the thing is, like, none of these YouTubers ever, like, normally collab with other people, and he just slams them in a house together and it forces them to do, and it's awesome.
And said, they do make music, they do non-music, be creative.
Yeah, they do non-music related challenges too. Like, there's a eating bad things one, and I'm just like, I was having flashbacks to hot sauce, and I'm like, oh God.
Yeah, it's a great show. A lot better than anything on TV.
So you're loving really the podcast that came out of that show?
Well, no, the podcast was the thing before, but he's interviewing the bands of the YouTubers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Austin Dickey looks like the dyke in every lesbian couple.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening to our show. I hope you agree with us that Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
You're wrong.
Die Hard the musical.
That would be awesome.
It's not
every time Hans, every time Hans has a line, it's just a polka song.
The song Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Oh, that would be just a metal opera. Oh man, that'd be awesome.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Just, I love
just
it.
Just get Kyle Anderson to play John McClane. Just like crazy wild man with dreadlocks blowing up terrorists. Oh my God.
Does anybody else want to take over this outro? I think I've done enough.
Hit us up on Instagram. Don't hit us up on Facebook. Go back and listen to another episode that interests you. We'll have our year wrap up and Christmas radio coming soon and all that stuff. Thanks, boys, for talking about Die Hard, and bye.
So wrong. We're a Derek.